Experiment Nation, this Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, we are hosting, myself and Rachel Gainsbrough, an MTR versus STR SmackDown. For those who don't know, MTR stands for Midterm Rentals versus Short-Term Rentals SmackDown. And the reason you want to make sure that you are there is because we are going to be sitting down with some of the industry's top leaders in the space who have transitioned just like ourselves into the MTR space. Now, what does that mean? The MTR space means if you already have furnished accommodations where you have an existing Airbnb and you're, you know, getting inconsistencies and getting bookings, there is a way that you can maximize occupancy and even get booked at a premium by shifting over to the midterm rental space. After tapping into Rachel Gainsbrough's resources and her courses, etc., we're able to land some of the largest deals we've ever gotten and revenue from the midterm rental space, working with insurance companies. If it's not insurance companies, you can work with travel nurses. You can even do government contracts the way Noble Crawford does it. So again, your roster is stacked. You got Noble Crawford, who specializes in government contracts. You got Sarah D. Weaver, who is the 30-day stay co-author, along with Ziana McIntyre, who all have been in the lab, and of course Jesse Vasquez, who is also happened to be part of his mastermind, who specializes in all across the board, from technical physicians to traveling nurses to insurance. He does it all. And you also have Amanda Williams, who specifically his business got shut down from Airbnb with no explanation, who also had to make a transition, and the one and only Daniel, who will be with us, who used to work at Airbnb, who is going to have a very unique perspective on how you can truly understand how to optimize on the STR and how, again, understand the benefits and downfalls of being on the platform. So it's really important for you guys to tune in February 16th, 3:30 p.m. Eastern to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you click the link in my bio in the description to get, it is my affiliate link, so that you get your discount and that you can tell Rachel and I that I sent you. Let's get it, Experiment Nation.
Who's this? Oh, you're an entrepreneur? Oh, you're a real estate investor? Oh, you're trying to learn from those who did it? Well, come into the lab then. Put your white coat on, gloves on, notepad, and let's build, y'all.
Real estate experiment, what is happening, y'all? Today, I got the one and only. Are y'all ready for this man right here? Jesper Rivers. Rivers, did I get it right? Did I roll the R too long?
I mean, it's tricky, man. It's difficult. It's Jesper Rivers, but you know what? Like, Rivers. I give you an A for pronunciation there.
All right. Let's start with an A. Now you know a thing or two about you know, speaking of giving people an A or a B or C, because you have very interesting. Not only have you walked the walk and talk the talk, as we like it here in the lab, but you also provide a platform that allows others to do the same. But you can see here, if you're listening to this, you guys may or may not be familiar with the name, Get Paid for Your Pad. That's been one of the, your host truly is here in the lab with us, and it's phenomenal, because I've listened to, the podcast, I've, you know, the book, and it's, I didn't even really, you know, until recently that, oh, like, I just connected the dots, right? You guys know Legend X and all that. So I got to ask you, because you've been in this space, you're not just like someone who's kind of stumbled upon this industry in the past couple of years. Like, you got some decades of this work behind you. So when I meet you, though, I'm curious, you know, I was just telling offline, you're in there in the are you actually you're in you're not in another Netherlands, you're traveling somewhere right now. Where are you currently located?
Yeah, I'm currently based in Panama City, in the country Panama, not in Florida.
Yeah, Panama. So we're talking like miles and miles away, and I just got back here in New York.
Let's say you and I cross paths at the airport. I say, hey, you know, what do you do for a living, man? What kind of work do you do, right? What's your answer typically?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. It's to a stranger, it's always like kind of hard to explain. But in a nutshell, I run two businesses. One business is renting out properties, short-term rentals, essentially. And then my second business is education. So helping other people do the same.
Mm. I love that. And so to this day, just to give some context, right, for those of us who are listening, because we hear that short-term rental and now you teach other people, like, tell us about that journey as far as how far back do we go here? Like, when did you get started?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So the story starts kind of with me being living in Chicago. I was in finance. I was a trader. And I quit my job in 2010. And my dream was to travel the world. Right. So I had an apartment back in Amsterdam that I was renting out long term. But as I was traveling, I bumped into this thing called Airbnb, and I stayed at an Airbnb, and I thought to myself, wow, this is cool. Like, you're staying at somebody else's home. This is back in 2011.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself, wow, you know what? Like, if I want to travel and I rent my apartment on Airbnb, then I can stay at my own place when I'm back. I might make more money and I'm not stuck with a long-term renter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it is in your market, but back home where I'm from in the Netherlands, especially in Amsterdam, if somebody's renting your home, like, you can't really get that person out if you ever want to take control of your property again, you know? Yeah. So you're kind of stuck with that person. So I was like, man, this is, I want to try this, you know? So my renter left at some point in 2012, and I threw the apartment on Airbnb, and yeah, bookings just started coming in like crazy. And soon enough, I was making like three times my long-term rent. And so I was a very happy camper with that situation. I was traveling around the world. I was making about $5K a month with this one apartment, two-bedroom apartment in Amsterdam. And I was traveling to countries like Vietnam and, like, you know, Thailand and South America, where living expenses are very low. So I was living like a king. And, you know, I was thinking I was going to go back to my finance career. But at that point, I realized, like, I don't really want to go back to the office. Like, I'm really liking my life right now, you know, so I'm going to keep doing this. And that's, you know, that's how it started.
That's, you know, it's crazy, because it's always about what I appreciate about this space a lot. It's, I don't think everybody just wakes up kind of like, hey, I'm going to, like, be a short-term rental operator, investor. It kind of just happens as, like, hey, let me experiment, right, and give this a shot. And, like, based on the data, I'm going to continue to double down on what's working. Talk about what was the, you got this data, you're making $5K, right, and that's gross, right? And $5K a month about gross, right? So at that point, are you with one property, are you able to, like, what is that extra money able to do for you? Was it immediately like, hey, like, I don't need a job anymore? Or was it like, hey, actually, this is a nice little boost, or this pays my cost of living? Give some context for those of us who are listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I just came out of my finance job, so I had, you know, I had some savings. So for me, you know, that $5K was like, it was enough to live off for me. So I didn't have to eat into my savings. Cause, you know, I remember staying in Vietnam for a month, and I was going for breakfast, dinner, and lunch, you know, to restaurants, but it's so affordable down there. You know, it's like a beer is like 50 dollar cents or something. Right. So
yeah.
I was hardly spending $1,000-$1,500 a month. So, you know, to me, like, that $5,000, like, was the dollars for those who haven't traveled outside of the US. Like, there's a lot of countries where your dollar goes a long way, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it was plenty of money. And, you know, I mentioned, like, I had savings, so I wasn't in the mindset of like, oh, I need to make a ton of money right now. I was in the mindset of, I want to travel to 100 countries, which I did. That was the most important thing for me. So at that time, things have changed, but.
Wow. That's so interesting. So So you use that, you build a lifestyle business, and then what makes you, what gives you the confidence that this is going to work again? Right. And again, the reason I asked this is in the lab, we want to be like, it's all about proofs of concepts, right? So it's kind of like, all right, like, how do you know, or for someone else who's listening, like, how do you know when the data is talking to you and you're saying, from a, either from a risk perspective or from a proof of concept, like, how do I know when to rinse and repeat? What were the indicators for you?
Yeah, 100%. Well, let me first say that when I started with this thing, back in 2012, it was a completely different world, right? You could just throw your apartment on Airbnb and you were gonna, you know, crush it with bookings. That has completely changed now, right? In nowadays environment, like, hosts are way more educated, they're way more professional, right? So you're actually dealing with real competition. So it's not the way that I approached it initially in Amsterdam, like, that doesn't work anymore, right? Now, if you want to get into short-term rentals, like, I highly recommend you got to educate yourself. You got to, like, you know, think about who's my guest avatar, right? Who am I serving with? You got to approach this as any other business where it's like, what's my product? What's the need in the market? How do I serve my customers? How do I create the best experience possible? These are the things, like any business, right?
Yeah.
That's completely changed. So the landscape is so much different now.
That's you know, it's funny because I've had this conversation before. I'm like, okay, so we have better tools now that's available for everybody to use. Is that truly, does that make things harder or does that make things easier? Because technically everyone has the same access. So I'm thinking, like, which one is it? Like, is technology making things harder as an entrepreneur or easier, or for all of us? And harder from the standpoint of, like, everyone's got it, so now the competition higher and everyone's elevated, right? Right. Like, you look at ChatGPT, like, things like that. Like, dude, like, what? But everyone's got access to that. So what do you think?
True.
What are your thoughts? Does it even out, or does that change? I'm curious.
No, I would say the tools is in the favor of the people that are effectively using them, which is not everybody, right? So, I mean, I was literally just on a call with some of our students, and one of them said, "Hey, I just started using ChatGPT to rewrite my Airbnb description, you know, because I'm a lousy writer, and it did a much better job." Right. And I updated all of my Airbnb listings with that content, and I immediately got some bookings, because that's one way to get all. It's an old little trick, but it still works. Looks like it still works, where if you need some extra bookings, you just change a lot of stuff on your listing, and then Airbnb sees that and they want to test it out and see if it books better now. So they show it to more people. But that's a side, you know, it's kind of a side note. But yeah, no, I mean, look, in terms of management, it's gotten a little easier. When I started, there was zero technology, right? So I had to go into my Airbnb listing and I had to update the prices, right? It's like, oh, I got a few bookings. Okay, now I want to make the dates around that, like, a little more expensive, because, you know, there seems to be demand there. So every day I had to go into my listing. Now you have automated pricing tools where you just set number of parameters and it does the job for you. But, you know, your question is like, okay, well, we all have access to those tools. That's true. But now how we can stand out from the competition is we have to educate ourselves on, like, how do we use these tools most effectively? Because, you know, you can connect a pricing tool, but it all comes down to, like, what parameters do you give it, right? It's technology with the brain, our brain and experience combined with technology, just like chess, you know, like, brain plus technology, that's where you get the best result. And, you know, so that's where you can separate yourself from the pack. It's like educating yourself on, like, how do I use this tool to get the best results?
Facts. Yeah, I genuinely believe, like, it's getting to a point where you get the quality of the answers that you get are based on the quality of question that you ask, right? And so it's going to get to a point where, you know, even on a platform like this, it's like, you know, here you are with tons of knowledge. can I ask the right questions to bring that to my audience? And that's my challenge every day, right? But I think in your business, it's the same thing. Like one of the other things, it's the asking who, not how, and to being able to get to, you know, to the end goal. When you think of that for you, like when you think of, okay, asking the right questions and, you know, we talk about who, not how. I think that's been big on my mind recently, not because of the book that I just read, but how kind of a framework. What's been the resounding kind of thing that comes to mind when it comes to in your world when you think about that? Like what is it that, what questions or what exactly has been key? And what key questions have you had to ask to kind of like propel forward into your business?
Sure. Well, I guess before I answer the question, let me quickly tell you like how my business evolved. So mm-hmm. I started out with this one small apartment in Amsterdam. Eventually I bought a few other units like in different countries as I was traveling. But most recently I partnered with my business partner, Eric Miller, who he built like a management business in San Diego to over 100 units. And we came together and started a completely new brand called Free Wild, where we are buying properties in small towns, like in nature, like traditional vacation rental communities. And we're doing like, unique units like cabins and tiny homes and stuff.
Yeah.
So for this business, that's what I'm focused on right now. So I just want to give that context before I answer that question. So, you know, the biggest thing that we realized to be successful in the future in a short-term rental space, we got to have a real vision for the brand that we want to build. You know, we believe strongly that like the brands are going to be successful in the short-term rental space. Like if you ask anybody, like, what's your favorite Airbnb brand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what's your favorite brand in the short-term rental space? They'll probably say, oh, Airbnb, right? But Airbnb is just a marketing channel, right? It's just a platform where we can find customers. So people don't associate short-term rental space with a brand, right? Like if you ask somebody, what's your favorite hotel brand? They'll give you the answer straight up, right? So the reason I'm saying all of this is, to me, like that's the most important thing going forward, you know, to be successful and build a sustainable business in the short-term rental space, we have to think about what's our brand? Who are we serving?
Mm.
Right? How do we solve the needs of our customers? Like what's our niche? How do we bring value that our competitors aren't bringing in our market space? How are we unique? Right? What separates us from, because there's a millions of properties in Airbnb, right? So
yeah.
Why would people stay with us? Like, and then to go a little bit deeper, you know, it's also like, what do we want somebody to feel when they are exposed to our brand? Like when they walk into our units, what should they be smelling? What should they be feeling? What should they notice? Right? These are questions that my business partner and I, Eric, we spent about a year, maybe a year and a half, thinking about these questions before we even purchase our first property for this brand.
Yeah. That's so interesting because you're right. You know, what's your favorite hotel? Marriott. Okay. What's your favorite Airbnb? Blank. And it's crazy because it almost makes you think that Airbnb has done such a good way to like make you white label your entire product and experience. When you talk about Airbnbs, you talk about not the brand, you talk about the actual, the model, the platform, right? Do you think it's, you know, how do you, can you bypass that? Do you think like if you're solely dependent on Airbnb, let's say, can you truly build an independent brand, you feel? And if so, how?
If you can build an independent brand through Airbnb, you're saying?
Yeah. Is it that you can't do it through Airbnb, or is it it should be outside of Airbnb? Like what's the...
Yeah. So, I mean, in my opinion, like, here's how we have to think about this, right? Airbnb is not our product, right? Our product is hospitality, right?
Mm.
It's the experience that we create for our customers, right? That's our product. Airbnb is a marketing channel, right? Where we can go to Airbnb and we can find customers, just like we can go to VRBO, we can go to booking.com, we can use Instagram, you know, we can do ads. Like, there's a lot of different marketing channels, right, that we can leverage in order to get to find our customer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Airbnb is a great place to start, right? If you start a short-term rental business, right, building your own marketing channels is going to take time, right? We can't just go on Instagram, post two pictures and have 100,000 followers. That's not how it works, right? It takes consistency, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes resources, all of that. Airbnb is a way for us to quickly get access to a large pool of customers,
mm-hmm.
right? So 100% recommend if you want to start a short rental business, like 100% be on Airbnb, right? And learn how to operate your business and rely, you know, in the beginning, you can rely on Airbnb to provide you to customers. But in the long term, you want to build your brand and you want to build up your database of past customers, past guests that you can market to. You want to build up your own marketing channels. Yeah. If you're really looking to build a sustainable and, you know, sizable business. Look, there's also, it all depends on your goals too. If you have one unit in a market where Airbnb is very strong, you could just have it on Airbnb and do nothing else.
Yeah.
And you could make, you know, you could definitely make real good money for a very long time. So nothing wrong with that strategy. It just depends on your goals, right?
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. That's a very, very interesting way to look at it. So let me ask you, first of all, how were you buying all these properties? You said outside of, like, every country you're visiting, you're kind of like, hey, let me just buy this. Like, how tell us about that process. How are you buying overseas?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. You know, like, it was a bit scary, I tell you, but the great thing about buying in certain countries, like I bought a unit in Thailand, in the Philippines, and Colombia. The prices are so much lower there, right? I bought a little studio in Thailand for $55,000, right?
Mm.
So yeah, the way it works is, you know, you find it and you do a lot of due diligence because there's a lot of scams out there, right? You got to be really, really, really careful because I can give you plenty of examples of people that lost a lot of money by buying real estate in foreign countries, right?
Is it, what is it, by the way, is it like a language barrier? Is it like you're trying to do it from far? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's just like, you don't know the legal system necessarily.
Mm.
You know, like you don't know, really know who you're dealing with. So you just got to do a lot more due diligence. It's mostly the legal system. Like, I have a friend who, you know, got scammed out of $100,000 in Colombia, and he had a contract, he had a lawyer, so he thought he was covered, but it turned out that, you know, this lawyer, like, didn't even know it, but the person that he bought it from wasn't actually the owner, and he found out later, and so, like, he didn't have anything, so he lost $100,000. So you gotta be really, really, really careful in a foreign country, like, because you don't know how the system works there, right? And so. Yeah. Yeah, you got to do that due diligence, but eventually you got to make a decision and say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity or take this gamble, if you will, and you wire over the money and then you just hope that it actually belongs to you and that nobody's going to show up and say, like, well, excuse me, you're actually not the owner of this. And, you know, knock on wood, my units that hasn't happened for me, but yeah, there's a lot of examples out there where people got scammed out of a lot of money.
Yeah. And so you do your due diligence, and in your case, what kind of financing were you using? Was it traditional? Is there some other things that we should know about overseas money that it can go further? Like, what's the move there?
Yeah. I mean, the move is there is no financing, essentially. You know, like, yeah, I mean, in Colombia, you could potentially get a mortgage there, But to give you an idea, like I have my property in Colombia, my income goes to a savings account in Colombia, and I get 13% interest, right? The interest rates are so much higher there. You could get a mortgage, but you're going to pay like 15% for your mortgage. So it doesn't really make any sense to get a mortgage in the first place, right? The arbitrage, you know, arbitrage is a popular term in our industry, but the arbitrage, you know, that I see is like you make money in the US and then you take it to a country where living expenses are a lot lower, and then you can buy a property there. You have a real advantage with your purchasing power, right? So in those countries, you can make, you know, you can make 10 to 15% cash on cash return without financing, which in the US like would be almost impossible, right?
Yeah, that's wild. That's pretty, that cash on cash return is very high. So you're doing all this as because you're doing the math. You're like, okay, my money's gonna go further here, and then lifestyle, I can get more, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and it's also for me, like it was really fun to buy properties in different countries so I could stay there, because I was traveling around, you know, like staying at your own units is always fun.
So did you have such a thing as a primary residence?
No, I was a, you know, they call them digital nomads. It's very popular now. Like when I started in 2010, it was very, there was not a lot of us, but yeah, I lived out of my suitcase for the better of like 8 years or so.
That's cool. What was your favorite place?
Brazil.
Brazil. Wow. Okay. Okay. I can see that. That's a vibe right there, man. Shoot. I got to ask you, man, you mentioned this earlier. You know, the landscape changed, right? And I know you, tell us about Legend X. What's the connection there? How did that come about?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, my business partner and I, when we came together in 2019, we started a mastermind. We recognized like there's all these people that have like big Airbnb businesses, like short-term rental businesses, and there's nowhere where they can connect, right?
Yeah.
So we started wearing the t-shirt, actually.
Yes, sir. Representing.
See, short-term rental legends. That was our mastermind. So we rented out a villa in Puerto Rico, and then we went to Colombia, went to Mexico, and we just got like, you know, 20 to 30 of the top operators, people that are doing like 100 plus units. We got them together just to mastermind together, yeah. Right? And, you know, my business partner, Eric, he had experience like building this business up to 100 units. And at some point we realized like we had a starter course for Airbnb hosts. And then we had a mastermind. There was a big gap in the middle. And at some point we realized from learning, we had a behind the scenes look of all these different businesses in our mastermind. And at some point we started recognizing, we're like, those successful businesses, they all have a certain number of things in their business really dialed in, right? Number one is what we recognize is like they have a real vision for their business. They understand, you know, they understand, they have core values, they understand the culture that they're building in their company, they understand the customers that they're serving, they understand what markets they want to be in, they understand what property type they need to be going after. Number two is they all had team members and standard operating procedures in place so that they didn't have to work in the business all day, right? It's the old working on the business versus working in the business, right? Mm-hmm. So systems and team members. So we call that operations, right? And then the last thing is they had a real strategy on how to scale their business, right? They had a strategy how to build up that on the guest side, like how do we build up that customer base, and how do we get them to book direct with us and really take control of that customer. And number two, they had a real marketing strategy to acquire more properties, right? So those are the three things that we saw over and over. And you know, that was also based on Eric's experience, right? My business partner. And so we realized like, okay, hosts, we need to bridge the gap here from the people that have a couple units or the people that have 10, 15, 20 units, but who are working or doing all the work themselves. And there's a lot of hosts out there They get into it. They get a few more units, but they created a job for themselves.
Yeah.
And hospitality is a 24/7 job. Like, you know, if there's a problem in the middle of the night and you don't have a team member, right? And you don't have a system to deal with it. You're dealing with it, right?
Yeah.
And so we started calling those hosts the hectic hosts, you know. And they were going crazy, and they would tell us like, "Man, I don't have a life anymore. Like, it's this business, it's too overwhelming. I can't deal with this." And that's why we created Legends X is to help people create a vision, develop operations, and create a real strategy to scale. And that's what we're teaching now.
Love that. What's the conversation now? I'm sure the conversation back then. How long has Legend X been around?
We launched it about 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess you're still in because there's definitely a rise in the market, right? When it comes to, or at least it would you describe it as, and I'll let you say it, the landscape has changed, right? From when you were doing it, you said you could just pretty much launch and be ready to go. Now it's getting really competitive. What is that conversation that you're having as a coach, as a teacher to your students in order for you to stay the most competitive? And let's just quite frankly say, be the best. What's that conversation like, Luke?
Yeah, no, 100%. What does the conversation look like? Well, it's, you know, our program is a week by week program. So it's not like, here's a course, do it yourself at your own time. It's like we take our students week by week. We take them through time release content with weekly calls and everything. So yeah, we walked them through exactly, you know, the steps that I outlined, where it's like we really believe that we have to set a very high standard for ourselves, for our business, you know, just like any other business, right? Imagine you start a bakery, right?
Yeah.
Like you gotta be very professional, because otherwise, like, people aren't going to come to you, right? There's a lot of bakeries out there. That's how we have to approach the short-term rental business as well. It's like we gotta really like learn how do we create world-class experiences for our customers, right? Because what we call the set it and forget it host, or the set it and forget it strategy, that doesn't work anymore. Where you create a listing and you just put it on there. We need to optimize and set the standard very, very high for ourselves to be able to successful in this business in the current climate and in the future. I think that's only going to increase. So yeah, all those things that we've been talking about, like really understanding your brand, understanding who you're serving, how you're creating, how you're fulfilling on their needs, all the things that like a business owner has to think about in any type of industry, right? All those difficult questions. That's how we need to play. And there might be some markets where you can still get away with creating like, you know, a mediocre listing and just kind of catering to everybody instead of having a clear, you know, vision of like what niche you're in. There might be some markets where that still works, but you know, by large, I would say that's just not sustainable anymore. That strategy.
Yeah. It's changing quickly, and it's changed quickly. And to your point, we have more tools on our tool belt. I guess, is there one thing that you've seen that you would say, even whether it's from a strategy, whether it's from financing, whether it's from, you know, picking one neighborhood, whether it's, you know, design, is there one thing that you've seen, a common denominator or multiple common denominators that you've seen has worked for some of your students as they hit the ground, regardless of where they are in the world? This will work. You just got to trust the process.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I can't really think of like a magic pill or something, you know, like the shortcut to success. You know, I think it's more, I would say it's like the mindset. If there's one thing, it would be the mindset, you know, the mindset of understanding that you need to really take this business serious, and the mindset of, you know, of seeking the best education, educating yourself, the mindset of, you know, understanding that you have to build systems in your business. If I'm talking about, if you want to scale it, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be it's just a host with one unit or something, then that's a different story, right? But in terms of like scaling your business, like we have to have the mindset of hiring team members, building systems, and getting ourselves out of the day-to-day. Because the day-to-day in hospitality, if everything is in your shoulders, like you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, that's facts. Yeah, mindset is big. Is there, I'm just curious, because you have a lot of data on your end. And again, there's definitely not a one rule when it comes to having success in this industry. But I'm just wondering, when it comes to mindset is definitely one thing. If we're thinking of tactical models that you've seen works, all right, what comes to mind? I have a few that come in my mind, but I'm just curious, what comes to your mind first when you say, hey, Ruben, like bulletproof, not bulletproof, but like, you know, if I'm going to put yourself, you know, if I have to, you know, put myself against, you know, survival and I need to make this business work, what are some key things that you're going to right away? And what are some things that you're even ignoring that maybe some of us would be paying attention to?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about in terms of like business models,
business success in this space, right? I think there's a lot of different ones. You know, when we say getting paid for your pad, it could be a boutique hotel, it could be single family, mm-hmm. it could be multiple rooms. Like, you know, if you were to, you know, think of like the, hey, listen, this is survival, I need to make this work, I'm actually curious, maybe now that we're on this path, like what model would you put your life on? Know what I mean? Like that you've seen, you know, that you trust.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. Like, I really believe that the biggest trend in the world is towards unique experiences. Right? And so the way I think about like hospitality now, it's like it has to be Instagrammable. There has to be some experience that will make people want to share it, right? If that's not the case, so that's kind of how I think about it. Like we need to not be in the mindset of we're renting out a space. We need to be in the mindset of we're creating a unique experience that will make people feel an emotion and they want to share it with their world. You know, I think that if you ask me like what's the most important thing to understand to be successful in the space, I would say it's that.
Yeah, because then you've baked in free marketing, which is super powerful at that point when people are spreading your content.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's one thing, but also it's like people want to experience something unique, especially the younger generations.
Yeah.
You know, they want to experience something cool. It has to be cool, right?
100%.
That's where I think the industry is heading.
100%. That's what's up, man. I'm curious. I mean, this industry is you know, it's changing overnight. Like I would say, you know, it's there's a lot of changes that are coming along. There's like regulations, there's like, you know, technology, there's you know, there's a lot of things that are coming on. I think just like any business, you got to be able to adapt very quickly. And the attention span of people, right? You know, you think about all these apps that we have, the scrolling, the swiping. It's an attention game that we're in. Is that how you see it? I mean, that's
100%, man. Like, look, technology is a big factor as well, right? Like, you know, when you walk into a hotel these days, right? The experience is almost the same as 200 years ago, right? You walk into a hotel and you have to stand in line at a reception desk, right? And then when it's your turn, they give you a piece of paper and you fill it out with information that they already have because you booked online. So they already know your email, they already know your name and everything, but you still have to fill out that form. You know what I'm saying? Like that, and then you get a physical key, or I mean, these days you might get a key card, like a plastic key card, but that experience has hardly changed for hundreds of years. Right. So, but you think about, you know, if you talk to younger people, and I say younger people, I always think of my youngest family member, who, not my youngest, but the youngest I can talk to, who's, you know, who's around like 18 or 19. And I look at how he like views the world, and, you know, like they don't want to, like in some hotel rooms, you still have that old school telephone, you know, with a line on it like that. He doesn't know how to use that. You know, he'll see that and be like, what is that? You know what I mean? Like that's, So we gotta, you know, and there's some really interesting hotels out there that are doing like really cool stuff. Right. Yeah. One of my favorites is the Citizen M. It's called the Citizen M. Check it out. They have tiny rooms, very, very small rooms. Okay. But it's so clever how they designed it, and everything is by technology. You have an iPad that controls the entire room. You go to the bathroom, you can choose between five different lights, right? Mm. You can have a purple, you can have a yellow, like you're in the shower, you can have different colors, like you can control the, you know, there's three different blinds that you can control with the iPad. And they call their guests citizens, right? And this goes back to like building that brand, right? Of like, you know, how people go to Burning Man, they call themselves burners.
Yeah.
Like if you can get people to call themselves that, like after your brand, like that's really powerful. Right. Yeah. So, you know, in this hotel, you see it everywhere. You see the word citizen, like our citizens do this and our citizens like this. And there's a social area where it's really fun to hang out. There's living rooms where you can play board games. There's books. So the rooms are tiny, but the social areas are super cool. And everything is around technology. You can check in. You don't need to talk to anybody. There's a computer that you can check in with. You know, that's an example of like, in, you know, it's an innovation, right?
Yeah.
But that's still pretty rare in with hotels, in my opinion, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's interesting because would you say though that there is a place for? I mean, that's why they're still in business, but I mean, would you agree that there's a reason they've been around for a long time, and that the other side of the argument is that, you know, it works, and for, because, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Yeah, do you think it works, and that, or do you think that we're in a position where you think everything's gonna get wiped up, and they're gonna, it's a dying kind of asset class?
Oh no, absolutely not.
Yeah,
I'm just seeing that the short-term rental space with all the technology, right, where now, you know, if somebody books one of our Freewild properties right now, mm-hmm. you know how the technology is, like they could go through an entire stay without us having to do anything manual.
Mm.
Right. So let's say they book on Airbnb, right? They get an automated message. It has, you know, it has all the information, and then it has automatically a security code, a door code gets generated, right? It gets sent out to them automatically. So they have access to the unit, right? We have automated messages throughout their stay. Like if nothing comes up, right? If there's no challenges that we have to deal with, they can go through the entire process of booking, staying, and going back home without us having to do anything manual,
mm-hmm.
on the management side. Of course, like the cleaners have to come in and clean, and you know, but as far as management, like it's all like fully automated.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I see this short-term rental space as it's an opportunity because it's young. Like we can shape it, you know, we can innovate, we can take a different approach. I mean, of course, hotels will always exist, and you know, but I think that's, you know, what's exciting to me is like, how do we create a new type of experience, a modern type of experience, right? So that's what is interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, you want to catch the new wave because that's what they're gonna get familiar with, and that's what they're gonna adopt. And so that makes sense to me as far as going the modern route. That's dope, man. What do you think's next for this whole industry, man? Like, I mean, we're kind of talking about it now. I'm seeing a lot more midterm hotels, midterm rentals. I'm seeing boutique hotels is popping up. Like, what do you see that I'm not seeing? I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening, right? There's a number of trends going on in the world. I think, well, you know, we touched on digital nomads, right? So I see a big area of opportunity in the sort of the co-living, temporarily living space, right? You see this quite a bit now, where you will have a building or even a home with rooms that you can rent for 2 weeks or for 3 weeks, and yep. You know, there's a space where you can work. And so I think there's that side of, like, how do we cater to people getting more remote and less tied to one location? So that's one thing. I would say some other things. Let me think. I had another good one. I kind of lost my chain of thought.
Co-living. You're talking about co-living?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you were saying about, like, trends, right? Like
midterm rentals.
Yeah, midterm rentals, like that. We see a lot of our students are getting a lot of success with kind of 1 month, 2 month type of stay. I think it has to do with the same kind of trend, you know, where people are like, hey, let's live in one city for a couple months and then mm-hmm. go to another city for a couple months, you know. So Brian Chesky talks about this a lot, how he thinks that in the future, like, a small percentage of people are actually going to offices, right? Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have a lot more freedom to kind of move around. So I'd say that's one thing. And then I also feel like the whole hospitality space is kind of the borders are getting a little gray, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, you had an Airbnb, had nothing to do with a hotel, right? Those were very, very separated, right? You had long-term rentals, you had like an Airbnb, and then you had hotels, and then you already had, like, of course, the traditional vacation rentals that back in the day, it was like you booked them week by week. I mean, you're going on holiday, right?
Yeah.
But like now, like it's all like colliding, you know, there's kind of hotels that are kind of like Airbnbs or, mm-hmm. or not, like, you know, it's everything in the middle now. So it's like, I feel like the borders aren't as clear cut anymore between, you know, a short-term rental and a vacation rental and a hotel, boutique hotel. Long-term, midterm, like there's so many different models now.
Yeah. Have you ever, I don't know, again, what your personal situation right now is, but have you ever looked into getting into multiple doors in one location? And if so, is there one that you would pick over the other?
No, I mean, our focus is really unique properties. Yeah. Like, so we're thinking like cabins, we're thinking tiny homes, we're thinking tree houses, like domes, like that in nature, right? That's really the type of experience that you know, that excites me. Because, you know, like one thing I will say is, like, if you want to start, you know, the hospitality business, like for me, like I want to do something cool where I want to stay myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I don't want to stay there, then I don't really want to, you know, rent it out either.
Yeah. That's a good call. I mean, it's very lifestyle driven as well, right? And you can kind of bake that in if you do it the right way, kind of like what you do, where you kind of like, hey, if I'm going to own it, I'm going to have to like it. If I like it, chances are other people will like it. And if I can go to a cool place, then chances are people are also going to want to go to a cool place in a great location. So that's awesome. What do you think is the, again, I appreciate you coming in. And it's so funny, as I was listening to you, I was just taking in your brand's name, and it just occurred to me, Call Me Slow, but define overnight success. Cause I think I finally just got it. Like, that's crazy. I just put it together. Well, how'd you come up with the overnight success brand name, and what does it mean? So we make sure that I'm thinking the right thing.
Well, okay, so it doesn't mean that you're going to be successful overnight, right?
Yeah.
That's not what it means, right? It's obviously it ties into, you know, overnight, you know, overnight stays, right?
That's crazy.
It's actually like a buddy of mine, he came up with it while I was staying at my own unit in Colombia, and he was visiting, and he does that for a profession. Like, that's his job. He comes up with cool names for companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, nah, he nailed it. I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Because at first, it's so funny, because, you know, our show, we, you know, typically it's we've had some entrepreneurs come in there, but at first coming in, when I saw it come in, I was like, what's overnight success? Like, and I didn't connect the dots until I realized it was you. But the brand name, I was thinking, because we've had some people who are like, oh, like they talk about this and that. And I'm thinking this is like a, you know, entrepreneurship, overnight success. I'm like, well, I don't know, man. It's about the process. It's all about the systems. I don't know about overnight success. But then I was like, wow. It actually just hit me on the show. Honestly, I was going to ask you. That's crazy. That's dope ass brand name right there. Overnight success. That's right. You get paid for your pad. Boom. Just like that. I love that. What's next? What's next for you, man? I mean, you've been into this space for a decade now. You know, what's the call to action? What's happening with you and your community? What are you tapping into next, man? I feel like you got overnight success. Doesn't happen overnight, baby, but maybe in your case it does. So what's up? What you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, so we have two businesses, right? Overnight Success is the educational side. Like, you know, like we're very passionate about helping other people, you know, so that's our focus there. As far as FreeWild, that's a whole, you know, we see FreeWild as a, you know, let's say like the Marriott or the Four Seasons of the short-term rental space, not necessarily, not similar type of brand, but like the standards, right?
Yeah.
The standards, the expectations, right? I mean, we are pretty ambitious. Like we want in the next 5 to 10 years, we want to buy 20 to 25 tiny home communities or unique property, communities of unique properties across the US, eventually internationally. And our vision, our dream is that one day, you know, people that stay out of properties are going to call themselves Wilders, you know, just like the... Yeah, just Wilders, right? So our brand is Free Wild. And there's a whole idea behind that of giving people the option to be free or wild. And then the wild option means like, we're not going to play with our devices. We're going to play board games. We're going to play music. We're going to sit around the campfire, drink some whiskey, right? That's the wild side. And the free side is like, hey, if you have to work, we do have a fast internet connection and a laptop friendly workspace, right? But use it intentionally, right? And then go wild. So once you disconnect from your device, you go wild and you connect with your friends or your loved ones and you spend quality time together, like in the old days, like without all these devices that run our lives.
That's interesting. That's really cool, by the way. I feel like you could crush that and 10x that doing like, while the retreats, the only thing I was gonna say, take a picture of it and post it on social, but then that would like defeat the purpose of being wild. I'm like, exactly, my mind went there right away, right? How do I capture this moment? But the retreat would be interesting, like any building a community that would find your type of properties or experiences as wilders and then be able to connect at these specific wilder sites. That'd be, whew, yeah, man. Shoot.
That's a vision. That's a vision, you know? So
that's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you sharing your executed vision already that brought you here. Not to be confused with the overnight, type of overnight success. 'Cause you've been at this for, you know, over a decade now, and you have a very respectable podcast, brand, and book here. And if you're listening, you know, I'm right here in the lab with Jesper, and you know, he's got his books overlooking you know, his shoulder on his left shoulder there. You know, those are some solid. You guys want to just tap into those, we'll make sure to include those in the show notes there. But I guess the other one is that more of a like a booklet, or is that what's the black book, right?
Yeah, so there's behind me is my book, Get Paid for Your Pad. That's how I got into the space, right, as an educator. What's next to it is actually our Legends X notebook. When you join Legends X, we sent you a bag of goodies. So you have a pen, we have a notebook and a t-shirt and, like, you know, a bunch of goodies.
Yeah, definitely, man. Oh, that's what's up, man. Shout out to Legend X, man. Get that in for sure. Listen, I want to thank you for coming on our platform in the lab, as we call it. I want to make sure that, you know, you talk about Legend X. You talk about your book. Where are you most active? Where can we tap in if you want to hear more? Where do we even join this mastermind community of yours? That's very highly thought of, by the way. This is not just one. This is when people, when you say, Legend X, people know what's up in this space. So, you have it here. The man is here. So where do we tap in? Where do we follow? Where can we get in touch with you?
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to learn more about our educational products, you can go to overnightsuccess.io. If you want to check out our new business, we are just about to launch our new website, freewild.com. So FREEWYLD. If you want to check out our brand, we have a coming soon because we're renovating our properties to rebrand them as Freewild. So we're officially launching our brand in June. So people can subscribe to our newsletter for Freewild. You can subscribe to our newsletter for Overnight Success as well. And then if you're a beginner Airbnb host, you can also check out getpaidforyourpad.com, where we have a lot of resources for people to get started. And then obviously the podcast Get Paid for Your Pad is on all the channels like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all the things.
That's a fact. Love it. Love it. We'll make sure to include that in the show notes, guys. If you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel. You know, we got you. We'll have that in the show notes, but I can't tell you, thank you enough for stepping into the lab with us. And just want to thank Experiment Nation again for tuning into another practitioner who came, saw, conquered, and is still willing to wild out and do more into our ecosystem here. So make sure you guys give him a follow and follow the movement. Thank you so much, Jesper. And just like that, we are out.
Experiment Nation, podcasting has changed the way we operate as real estate investors ourselves, and it can do the same for you. Podcasting has been the source of the masterclasses that we get thanks to the world-class real estate investors and practitioners and specialists that come into the lab from all realms, from short-term rentals to mid-term rentals to real estate syndications to even software as a service. Owners, founders, entrepreneurs have helped enrich our experiments by giving us the education, helping us build a network, and lastly, and most importantly, a brand association to open up multiple doors for our respective businesses. If you understand the power that podcasting can have and you know that you need one for your brand, please, you can rely on our team. InvestedTalent.com is my team and the team that helps this podcast, The Real Estate Experiment, become the fruition each and every single week to educate my community, build relationships on the air, and continue to build our brand. If you know that you need to do these same for your brand and you haven't pulled the trigger yet, maybe because you don't know how, our company, InvestedTalent.com, does the end-to-end from the time that you record, from the time that it is published, to even repurposing content on multiple social media platforms. That's what my team can do for you. Simply go to InvestedTalent.com and book a discovery call to see how my team can help you launch your podcast.